soil testing, planting, harvesting, and nature. It's all happening at the Urban Spring Festival, and we're still taking your gardening questions on 1300 222 720.
We are indeed, and good morning. If you're just joining us live for Roots and Shoots this morning here at the Perth Cultural Centre, where the crowds are amassing and enjoying themselves, eating muffins galore, drinking coffee and enjoying the sunshine. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much. Lovely crowd, and the lovely princess is here as well, Sabrina Hahn, ladies and gentlemen. Here she is. What a specimen. She's been watered and pruned for this occasion.
Water pruned and fed, James, and ready for a frolic.
How good do you look? Before we do anything, we're just going to have a little bit of music. We had something before 9 o'clock, but obviously we're going statewide now, and you've missed out if you've just joined us. So we're literally going to have a quick minute from Echoes of Django, ladies and gentlemen, as we broadcast live from the Perth Cultural Centre. Take it away, guys.
One, two, three.
Good. Just a little taster. Echoes of Django, ladies and gentlemen, who tomorrow are going to be playing at Culture in the heart of the Campuchino Strip, South Terrace and Fremantle. It's a free entry. It's not going to cost you a dime. You can go and check them out again between 4 and 8 tomorrow and also next Sunday. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks, lovely stuff. Sabrina, no doubt, is a regular there as well at Culture. You're always there, aren't you?
Actually, Culture Club is great. They have
No, not the band. Culture Club, not the band. It's Culture the venue.
Yeah, Culture Club. See, you're not an aficionado.
I know, I am.
James.
It's just that you're saying it with a C-H-A and I'm doing it with a T-U-R-E.
Oh, it's the BBC coming out in you, James. We'll flog that out of you before the day is done.
Before the news, in fact, in just a moment, we're going to get the results of Josh's soil test, because if you want to come down with your soil specimen, sounds awful, doesn't it?
And that soil specimen...
If you want to come down with your soil specimen, you can get it tested, and very quickly you'll find out how good or how bad your soil is. If you want to come down, just come down to the Perth Cultural Centre, and all morning they're going to be doing that testing. So people have been arriving with their jars.
Yeah. We'll and don't they look? Don't the girls and boys look fab
in their white coats?
In their white coats, no
don't
stiletto
they?
Shoes.
Yeah, look at them; they look so good. And they were here from 7. You know, we weren't here till 8:30. 7 o'clock they were here.
Well, they probably wanted to pop into the art gallery and have a little look, because not only are they scientists, they're highly cultured scientists.
And they like to examine the art. Katrina is, of course, someone who spoke to on Roots and Shoots a few weeks ago, and she was inundated with people wanting to get their soil tested at the open day, a soil testing open day. But now you've come down here to join us live. And just quickly, Josh Byrne had his soil tested. Obviously, here's a man you'd expect to have the most pristine,
top
quality soil. Soil. How was it, Katrina?
It was okay. And he's probably really lucky that I can only measure a few things today. No, that's not true. No, look, today we're doing some free soil testing. We're very limited in regards to what we can test with, the amount of equipment we can bring in the laboratory. His pH was fine, about 7.5. Is that the case around?
Mm. Yeah, that's good for growing your veggies.
Conductivity was very low.
Mm. No salt. Fabulous.
The interesting thing was that two of them, the hydrophobicity, or the ability for the water to actually penetrate the soil, were good. But one of the ones, when I actually marked which plot I took them from, one of them was actually really hydrophobic. So what we did was... once again, not really good for radio.
It's okay, demonstrate. So you just got your little teat pipette
out. You were very good at describing it last time,
James.
I'll
talk you through like a commentator.
Talk it through,
okay, so the teat pipette's out with a drop of water on it.
So what's really important for a soil is to understand that it's actually the less than 2 mil fraction. So when I went and took some, I took a nice representative soil from the garden. We took it back and we sieved it. And basically, I've just got some deionized water, like I said, made some prepared earlier.
Yes.
And I'm just adding a couple of drops to that. And people probably can't see.
Yes, that's okay, but that's okay.
But it's absorbed it
that's
quite
well. That's absorbed well. Now, if it's not good, if
and
it's...
And that second one's absorbed it well.
So, as you can see, this one sitting on top.
Number three looks bad. It hasn't gone in. It's sitting there like a little bubble on
but
the top.
I've got a backup trade. I'm a magician. So, basically, what I've got is I've just got some yellow sand. Now, if we actually add that to that... Now, look, there's heaps of different ways of improving your water holding capacity. But I've just got some yellow sand here. This better work.
And now you...
And if I put that on there...
It goes down.
Yeah, now, so that's a a spearwood sand, and that's got about 1% to 2% clay. And the advantage over products like that to wetter soils is wetter soil will certainly improve the penetration of the water, but over a period of time that just breaks down. It's just a coating of the existing soil where if you actually add a product, a natural product with clay in it...
How awesome.
Yeah.
So you actually need to change the physical makeup of the soil.
Yeah, you've got to understand that when wetter soil was actually created, it was by mistake. It was it was done down in Donnybrook where they were actually trying to get pesticide to stick to the apple leaves.
It's actually Viagra, isn't it?
And then lo and behold, when they were using these different materials, they noted that the sands down there were very, very hydrophobic. Water was actually dripping on the ground and it was penetrating through. So the chemistry of it works. Obviously, the water will penetrate through, but it's probably like the Botox solution, because if people do use wetter soil, you probably find that maybe after 2 to 3 months, it goes back again.
Yeah.
So your soil's still coated with all those oils, and you put another coating on that, but over time that will break down. Something like this, we're actually recreating the soil, and we're
How good is that? So you just basically put more salt, more sand on with a dash of the clay in there.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's actually a spearwood, and that's got about 1% to 2% clay in it. You certainly don't want to put a bassendine on there, or you don't want to put one of the quindalup dunes, which is quite alkaline. It's a lot of calcium carbonate.
Do we all have to head to Spearwood and just help ourselves? Yeah. Or where do we get this from?
Why is everyone leaving? No, look, a lot of the garden places now actually have very good products on the on the market, and a lot of them have got those types of blends in them.
Right.
And the other thing I think that's important, Katrina, is people need to understand when you put a lot of organic matter in your in which we need to do, it can become hydrophobic.
Yeah, that's actually when we did the last soil testing through the open day. As the scientist, collated all that information, and what was really interesting was 95% of the soils that we got in were hydrophobic. And I'm not just talking slightly non-wetting. They were really, really non-wetting.
Right.
And I actually wonder if it's a combination of we've had all this education about mulching and that.
Yes.
But with the sprinkler bands, as you know, if you actually let a mulch dry out, it actually can be quite detrimental. It actually can become even worse. So it's like most things in life, a little bit often is usually the is a bit of the solution. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting here too. You just wonder with, I don't know what the irrigation program was here, but potentially where I took that sample, maybe that organic matter was allowed to dry out completely and become hydrophobic.
Yeah.
So wetting agents could be one solution, or maybe adding another amendment to it to improve its characteristics.
Thank you, Katrina.
Awesome. Welcome.
Really, really
Welcome.
Good. Give her a big clap. That was awesome. Katrina Walton from the Chem Centre. You can come down, you can have your soil tested, and you can get the results back straight away. And it's quite surprising, isn't it? I mean,
you'd
expect it to be A1 here, and even here with
experts.
Well,
I mean, you have to remember, too, that vegetables or annuals, they suck as much moisture and nutrient as possible.
Can.
And then, so you have to, and it's particularly when you're harvesting and you're disturbing the soil, then, you know, if you just put a little bit of bentonite clay in there, it should bring it back to its sweet little self.
It's very good. Right. Okay, so that was a quick touch on the soils at 14 minutes past 9. 720 ABC Perth, ABC Local Radio, broadcasting across the state, live from the Perth Cultural Centre. And if you want to give us a call this morning, 1-300-222-720 is the phone number. If you want to send us a text, we can see the text here in front of us as well, which is good. 0437 922 720. Alternatively, if you're live with a muffin, you can ask a question as well in the flesh. Okay, you just have to raise your hand and the lovely Olivia will be round. Okay, If you want to give us a question, let's do it now. 1-300-222-720. Olivia, you going to do one now? Olivia, do you want to do one now? Have you got someone you can throw a question to? Got one here?
Hello, yeah, yes, I'm on. Hi, we've got Bernard.
Go for it.
Sorry, we've got Bernard from Dianella.
Hello, Bernard. Morning.
Hi, I have garlic that grows well for about three and a half months.
Yeah.
And then you go out and you see there's a patch lying down almost as if a cat sat in it. And then it gradually progresses till it's all lying down and it's hopeless.
And then
have I got a fungus or what?
You could actually bury a cat under it. If you've got that sudden collapse, then I would say definitely. So when your garlic is quite small, you can just use a bicarb of soda, spray on it. There's quite a few funguses that garlic get. The other thing that happens is you can get a bacterial rot in the actual bulb itself. So, and it's very difficult to know that until you actually see it in the leaf sheets. So make sure that the soil is really free draining. Garlic likes to be dried out in between the waterings, and particularly once the bulb is forming, if it gets too much water, the bulb will just rot. So I'd say that collapse is either bacterial or fungal.
Thank you.
Good question. Great stuff. Let's have another one from here. Have we got another one from here?
Well, no.
We're just having an issue with our... Has anyone got a question? The only trouble is that our screen's packed up just for a minute. So if anyone has a question here, that would be awesome. Yeah, thank you.
I live in Dianella, and I've just been collecting recently lots of coffee grounds from my local coffee shop and sprinkling in the garden.
Yep.
Can I overdo it, or should I just keep sprinkling?
You can overdo everything in life, I've been told. Perhaps not very good quality red wine. Coffee grounds is really good, but it's like anything else that you add to a cake mix or to your soil. Too much of the one thing is going to be detrimental. Mm. It's a really good, it acts as sort of a composted material that goes into the ground. So don't continually use it, because you will find that eventually it could change the pH of your soil. But it's good as a soil conditioner. But definitely don't overdo it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Good question. Okay, we'll have another one from the live audience in just a moment. It's just going to go to Nola in Australia. Good morning, Nola. Nola, I'm here.
Okay. How far back can a pincushion protea be pruned?
Well, with all the proteas, Nola, you can't prune them back hard into the hardwood. So basically you prune proteas just below the flower, no more than about 10 centimetres below the flower, and you prune them at the end of flowering. So you can actually continually prune as the flower dies off.
Yeah, I do that, but they're getting quite scraggly.
Okay. Well, what you need to do is you need to experiment with one limb, mm-hmm. prune that back by 50%, and if it shoots from below that, then you can prune the rest of it. You're better off with proteas pruning half of it hard each year, and then this every second year do the other half.
Okay, right.
But if that one limb dies back that you prune by 50%, you know that you cannot prune them hard.
Okay, thank you.
And at least that way you only lose one branch, not the whole protea.
That's right.
Thanks, Nola.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye-bye. Quick one, Anne from Bunbury. Morning, Anne.
Oh, good morning, everyone. My question is, can I, at this time of the year, move some 4-year-old roses? Is it too late to move them?
Well, no, and just keep... No. I don't think we're going to get really hot weather over the next 4 weeks, and Bunbury's a bit milder anyway.
And do I prune them right back, or...?
Yeah. Have you pruned them yet?
Yes, they have, and they're starting to flower already.
I wouldn't prune them again once every shot. But I definitely spray them with the sunscreen spray before you dig them up.
Okay.
Prevent transpiration.
Uh-huh. And what sort of goodies do I put in the hole when I
Well, in Bunbury you'll need some bentonite clay, some compost, a bit of poo, whatever poo you fancy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mix all that together and make sure the hole's wet, you know, nice and damp when you put them in the hole.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Sabrina.
Good luck, Anne. Thank you. Lovely stuff. Okay, the crowd's gathering. Millions are here now.
Holy dooly. Do you know what astonished me? I came in, I met Josh at the entrance there, and He was looking a little bit Playboy centerfold, don't you think?
Was he?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't notice those things myself.
But quite a few more hairs on his chest, I notice. Got the buttons down.
an extra one down. Ooh.
But we were standing under the white chartreuse mulberry. I don't know if anyone's noticed it, but that has to be one of the best.
Beautiful.
Climbing trees for children on the planet, without a doubt. Not only does it encourage them to climb, but they get a reward
at
of the long, long... Have a look at the fruit, guys. It's one of the best fruiting mulberries.
How old would that beautiful tree be?
How old is that chartreuse mulberry tree, Josh?
Three years. Huge already, isn't it?
And you should see the fruit on it. They kind of look weird. They're long, wormy-looking things.
But how many metres is that? I'm not good on my measurements. I tend to over-exaggerate as a male.
It's only 2.5-3 metres.
Okay, but it's beautiful, isn't it?
It's stunning.
Mm. Olivia, you have a question for us?
Yep. Hello. Okay. Yep, how are you going? I've got Upal here from Jindalup, and she's brought in the lovely...
Yes, look at this.
It's a pawpaw, but it has
it's
a few
pawpaw
issues.
With acne.
Leaping lizards. I wouldn't care about the acne. I reckon we could open this up just to investigate a little bit further if we cut it open and perhaps eat some of it.
Taste the flesh.
Just to make sure that there's nothing really
Why
wrong
does it look like that? How would you describe that?
Well, it's got circular, sunken, brown holes, lesions they're called, and that's a fungal disease. I wouldn't worry about it. A lot of pawpaws get it,
but internally
this time of the year. Well, internally we really won't know, James,
until we've internaled.
We open it up. I think we should be the scientists.
Does anyone have a big, nice, sharp knife
on
them?
Machete? Have you got a machete, Josh?
Yeah. He always carries one in the Perth Cultural Centre. Got some secateurs. Not sure that will work.
No, we kind of need a knife, really. But, look, because it takes quite a while for pawpaws to ripen, then they are susceptible to... There's also beetles and bugs that get on the fruit and they scratch and scarify it and suck some of the sap out of the fruit, and that also causes spotting. Certainly crusader beetles will cause that spotting on the outside of the pawpaw. But that really doesn't do any harm. That's on the skin, and you don't need to worry about it.
All the leaves, the top has fallen. There's only very few leaves left now.
Yeah.
Is that okay to leave it?
That's quite common when you've got a fungal disease in your pawpaw. So are they going all crisp and dry?
Yes.
That's a fungal disease, so you'll need to spray the whole tree. But if the fungus is really bad, then it may be too late. But the pawpaw will, you know, it'll still produce fruit.
There you go. So I knew someone would have a knife. Look at that. A big, big knife. Not just a little pen knife. This is a whopper.
So what we're going to do now is
cut it open.
Scientifically.
Yeah. This is...
We are going to cut this open.
Look at that.
And just to illustrate my point, even though there's lesions on the skin on the outside, the inside is actually fine.
That was lucky, wasn't it? Oh, that was a live experiment that could have gone wrong. It's okay, I would have covered for you.
There could have been egg all over my face.
Yeah.
Or pawpaw. So you'll find that a lot of the lesions, particularly on tropical fruit, you will always get fungal spotting and wear insects. So by the time you see it, there's usually no point in doing anything about it anyway.
Good one.
Sorry to interrupt. I think I'm the official taster.
Oh, sorry. Oh, do you think so?
Thanks, Olivia.
I don't think anything's official until it's been tasted.
No, that's true.
That's true.
We can't try it out on a public for sort of insurance purposes until you've tried it. So good point, Olivia. Olivia's going to come and try it. If she falls over in just a second, we'll carry on the program because that's the kind of ABC we are.
Okay? I'm going to leave the seeds in because
You'll enjoy that.
They'll grow inside her tummy.
Can we do a little 30-seconder? And whilst we do that, we'll be back in just a second.
Discover what inspired Australia's leading garden designers. Gardening Australia's John Patrick and garden enthusiast Jenny Wade take you on a tour of 20 Australian gardens in the ABC book, Contemporary Australian Garden Design. Follow the tips on how to apply innovative ideas to your own garden. Contemporary Australian Garden Design. Now available in paperback from ABC Shop Online, ABC Shops, Centres and Good Bookshops.
Roots and Shoots at the Urban Spring Festival at the Perth Cultural Centre with James Lush, Sabrina Hahn and Josh Byrne.
Indeed, we're live here from the Perth Cultural Centre here in the middle of Perth where conditions are just perfect this morning.
Uh-huh.
A lovely temperature, beautiful looking pawpaw. Olivia lying prostrate on the ground, absolutely carked it. But
foam coming out of her mouth.
But we'll resuscitate her. We should be fine.
She's hardy.
Reach and Shoot, 720 ABC Perth, ABC Local Radio, and a lovely live audience. Enjoying their morning. And we're going to be talking birds very shortly as well. Let's talk to Ray, who's in Bruce Rock. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning.
Morning. Just morning, Ray.
How are you, Sabrina? Thank you.
I'm exceedingly well. I'm about to use this. You know, Ray, pawpaw is meant to be very good for your skin as well. And apparently you just rub the pawpaw all over your face and after half an hour you look years younger.
I need a 44 of that. apricot tree that's splitting, the main trunk is split where the branches come out, and I've bandaged it up, but I'm wondering if I can screw it up with wood screws or something to hold it together.
Yep, definitely. I have seen some very heavy hardware in trees where but they've bolted it together and just kept tightening up the bolt.
Oh, that's another thought too.
Yeah, so
that's
there's two ways
know,
you can
you.
Do it. Yep. Oh, right.
Thanks, Ray. You get to work. Good on him.
He's out to get the drill. The bolt.
He's just male, typical male. Get the information.
Yep,
we're on to
right.
it.
Yep.
We don't hang around.
Yep. Chainsaw. Yep. Right.
1-300-222-720, by the way, is the phone number. It might be easier to send a text this morning so you can get your question read out. 0437-922-720. Where are we going now, Liv? Sorry. Okay, we're going to have a live one. A live one in the audience.
I can hear myself. Hello. Yeah. That pawpaw was amazing.
Good.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm going to use the rest of it to make a pawpaw salad.
Yes, and offer it to our guests who are all here.
They'll be gone by the time I make it.
I was going to say, most of the ones you buy in the shop have got those little
Yeah, that's right. It's quite normal.
I've got Colleen from Shenton Park here.
Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning. Sabrina, I've got a bottle brush question.
Yeah?
I have a big bottle brush tree in our backyard, which we use for shade over our decking. But it's actually quite shaded now with a Cestrum nocturnum tree.
Yes.
And it's losing a lot of leaves and yellowing.
Yep.
I don't know if it's dying.
Look, it's very hard to kill a bottle brush. So if the leaves are going yellow and it's dying, has it... Is it now getting no sun at all?
It is getting, like, midday sun, and there's got some sun on it. And I noticed that the branches that do have sun are still green, but the ones that are a bit shaded are getting dry and
So what you will need to do is prune the bottle brush. Is it finished flowering or is it...
Just finished, yeah.
Yeah. So prune it back now and prune it back quite hard because the new growth that comes will actually adjust to the limited amount of light that it's now getting. So it takes a little while, it takes a couple of years for plants to adjust to those environmental changes.
Okay.
If it's not going to come good and it's basically it's a matter of it's in the wrong place now, but they're very difficult to dig up and move. They don't like being transplanted.
Oh, it's a huge tree, so I couldn't possibly move it. Yeah.
Well, what about pruning back the cestrum?
We have done that as well, but it hasn't come good. So.
Well, in that case, prune the bottle brush and just see how it goes, and then you may have to decide whether you have the bottle brush or the cestrum.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Colleen. Have a muffin. Yep, next question.
Hello, my name's Olivia.
Hello,
yes,
Olivia.
Olivia.
Are you my producer?
Yes.
Thank you.
Josh Byrne is standing here. For all of those of you at home, you can't see him. But if you are here to do the spring planting for the festival today, Josh will need you to muster along with him into the corner now.
Okay. Are you going to do that? Don't take everyone. We got this lot first, all right?
Well... sorry, Josh.
Thank you, Josh. He's going to get busy now on his workshop.
So if anyone wants to get their hands dirty and get up close and cuddly with Josh.
If you signed up for the job of planting,
go for it.
Yeah,
go on.
Otherwise,
stay here. Right, don't go. Let's do a quick one from David in Willerton. Morning, David.
Hi.
Hi, David.
I've got problems with my tomatoes. They're about 1.5 metres tall. They look lovely and green, but I'm not getting fruit.
Well, you've just been too nice to them, David.
Yeah.
Way too nice. Okay, what you need to do is cut the water off entirely. Wait for them to wilt. So do not water them for at least 3 days.
Yeah.
They will wilt and then they will push through flowers. So once you see them flowering, then you can add some more water.
Okay.
You need to stress them to get them to flower.
Oh, I'm being too good. Well, what about my radishes?
You're way too nice.
With radishes, I've got a ton of leaves, but it's not doing the bulbs.
You've got too much nitrogen in your veggie patch.
Ah.
You've got a lot of nitrogen, but not a lot of everything else.
Well, I've got sheep and cow manure and everything in it.
Yeah, but for some unknown reason, they're not accessing all the other goodies in the soil. Go and get yourself a good quality granular fertilizer that has all the trace elements in it.
Okay.
Because you're going to need, I'd say that there's not enough potassium and magnesium, manganese, zinc, all those other little bits and pieces. So sometimes manure is not enough, David, because it's basically a lot of nitrogen and not a lot of anything else.
Okay.
So you can use manure, that's fine, but you still have to use a fertiliser.
Yeah, I've been using a tomato fertiliser for my tomatoes, but...
Yeah, well, okay. I think your tomatoes, you've just been too nice to them.
Be nasty. Be brutal.
Okay.
Now, with your radishes, you need a half a teaspoon of boron in a 9-litre watering can and water them with that to get the bulb, the radish to actually develop.
Okay.
Thank you, David. Thanks for the call. Lovely. 0437 922 720 is the text number, by the way, if you're wanting to get through and you're struggling on the phone, if you want to get your question through to us this morning. 0437 922 720. Let's talk birds.
Let's talk feathered birds.
Because it's National Bird Week starting next week. 12,000 bird-friendly households inviting us to join their flock, no less. Tammy Twitcher would be better, I somehow feel. But Tammy Witcher is all right. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us. Now, let's just talk about this. Because what are we meant to do as part of... I mean, everyone and every organisation has some sort of national day or week or whatever. What's the whole aim here?
Okay, well, BirdLife Australia's got both. It's got a National Bird Week and a National Bird Day. It kicks off on the 22nd, which is Monday next week.
Yep.
The theme this year is who's nesting where, and we are trying to encourage and inspire Australians everywhere to take a look out the window and get more involved in birds, the wonder they offer, and hopefully get involved in their conservation as well.
Do you think there might be a surprise out there? People, if they examine more closely, they'll see things that they don't normally see?
Absolutely. I think that's the wonder of birding. You can do it anywhere. If you're stuck at work in your office, take a look out the window, or even, what we call armchair birding on your computer, or if you want to go for an extreme sport and plan a trip out into the Pilbara, but get your family and your kids involved. It's a beautiful time of year. In spring, all the birds are nesting. It's the peak mating season, so it's a really good time to be out there observing them, getting involved, and just sort of seeing what's happening.
There are threats, aren't there, at the moment? There are a lot of pretty aggressive birds that are taking over. Is that having a detrimental impact on our communities?
Oh, absolutely. So a common one in Perth is the rainbow lorikeet that you've all seen.
Beautiful.
Yes, they are. But unfortunately, they are starting to occupy habitat for other birds and are starting to drive them out. So one thing you can do is if you hop onto the website for BirdLife Australia, which is birdlife.org.au, there's heaps and heaps of tips about how to get your garden going and to encourage the native birds to come back and sort of push those pesky birds.
Do you think it's possible to sort of change that balance?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. It's never too late. We've already shown, studies have shown that conservation has already prevented over 200 native birds in Australia from going onto the threatened or critically endangered list without the effort of the 25,000 plus volunteers that BirdLife Australia has and the 10,000 members. I think it would be a very different picture.
Okay, so everyone can play their small part. Yeah,
even in urban areas. That's a big thing that we notice where you get, urbanisation into, particularly if it's in regional areas, the bird life actually changes because you'll get things like crows, well, ravens, and magpies. So the bigger birds actually taking over areas where the smaller birds were. Is there an increase in the raven population, or
are they just getting noisier?
Are they just getting bolder?
Well, unfortunately, I can't answer exactly for the ravens. I would say that's quite likely. I could get back to you on that. But a large, beautiful black bird that I can definitely account for is the Carnaby's cockatoo.
Yes.
I'm sure everyone's noticed that suddenly these big, beautiful rock star parrots, well, cockatoos, I should say, sorry, are flying around everywhere because as their habitat is being destroyed in all the regional sort of rural areas, they're getting pushed into Perth. So while it's great for us to see them every day in the CBD, it's actually an alarming indicator that they are running out of space and a lot of birds are having to adapt to the urban environment.
So they shouldn't be in the city?
Well, it is normal to see them sort of around the time that rains come. A lot of farmers will say that because Perth is part of their sort of migratory pathway because they all move down south, for example, to the Stirling Ranges to find some big old trees so that they can nest.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as that sort of area is getting smaller and smaller, they're getting sort of pushed up and in.
And is it true? I've heard that if you hear a lot of bird song in your, say, in your garden where you've got many, many species, does that mean that those species are there because they haven't got the fodder plants or the nesting places, so they're sort of concentrating in gardens where they've actually got access to a nesting site?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Right. Especially if you look at gardens, well, most gardeners tend to follow a European sort of style. There's not a lot of native sort of, which at least as far as I know, I do believe people are starting to do it more and more, but I think you will find that a higher number of birds are concentrating in smaller areas, so they're having to compete more for resources. So absolutely. It's quite interesting. They've actually taken sounds and bird song as an indicator of biodiversity now. If you listen to recordings in a park or in a forest now compared to 25 years ago, the number of bird sounds has actually diminished quite a lot.
Really?
We're starting to drown them out.
I think they're all coming to my garden.
Are they?
Yes. That's good. And they do it in shifts starting from 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that's nice. But isn't it amazing, actually, the noise that the birds make at night?
Oh, absolutely astounding, yeah.
And are they getting noisier now, or am I just sleeping worse? Am I getting older?
But you're not getting older, James.
No, I don't think that's happening. Oh, so that's lucky. But they're really noisy. Yeah, they don't really stop, do they?
Oh, I wouldn't say noisy. I'd say wonderful to listen to.
I would. And as for the ravens, well, honestly, I mean, anyone else got a raven issue? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're so rude, aren't they? I mean, first thing in the morning. Yeah, I'm talking really early.
It's funny how we were rude enough to sort of push in on their space at the same time, though. So maybe they're just getting us back for what we did in the first place.
Well, it has to stop.
Which is why, if you want to get involved to help stop the raven problem, help support the conservation areas that are currently, you know, being upheld by people who volunteer at BirdLife Australia.
Tammy Witcher, you're a legend at segueing to that. Tammy Witcher from BirdLife Australia, if you're going to leave us with one little tip, and if with the week ahead of us, National Bird Week, what can we do at home to make a massive difference to you and to all of us?
One tip, just get out there and enjoy it. That's what it's all about. When you enjoy being out there and you love what you do and you find something about birds that pertains to you that you can follow, hold on to it because that's the best way to solve any problems, to work together and do what you love.
And do some different planting, put something in there to encourage
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. Contact these guys and find out what the best thing to put in your garden is.
There's a fabulous book called Birdscaping. The Australian Landscape.
That's
and they actually describe the bird and then they have a description of what that particular bird eats, so, and what they prefer to nest in. So it's a great book because then you can grow specific plants to encourage those specific birds to come into your garden.
Absolutely.
And don't have a cat.
No, don't have a cat.
Or lock it up at night.
Yeah.
Yes. Beautiful. Tammy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Lovely to see you. Give her a big round.
Thank you, Tammy.
Yo, Tammy Twitcher. That's really not a name, but it should be. T. Witcher, you see? There you go, T. Witcher, is that right? Yeah, it'll work. It'll work. Good stuff. Right, let's bring in Olivia Holmes again, producer extraordinaire. Where are you? There you go.
Hello.
Good.
Hello, I'm here. I've got a hat on.
Oh,
yep. Gotcha.
Look at that.
It's quite warm out here.
Yep. Is it?
In the sun.
It's lovely here.
You wouldn't know over there in the shade.
Where the pawpaws grow. It's lovely.
Okay, I've got Estelle from Ashford with some rose problems.
Hello, Sabrina and James.
Hello, Estelle.
A couple of years ago when we were trying to be really, really careful with water, I killed six roses by being too careful.
Yeah.
Would you mind telling me, I've put lots and lots of fertiliser and poo and mulch around my roses, and yep. I've also got a thick leafed ground cover trying to keep it moist. But yep. should I water them every morning in the hot weather just a bit, or should I try and water them for 10 or 20 minutes twice a week? What should I try and do to keep them alive?
Okay, that's a great question. Now, with roses, you are better off doing a deeper water rather than a shallow water every day. Roses do prefer a loamy or clay soil. I'm not sure what the soil is like in Ashford.
Ghastly.
That describes.
But I have actually built this up like mad.
You put any clay content?
I've put clay in it.
Yeah, okay. So I would suggest that you're better off giving them a deep watering every third day rather than a shallow watering every day.
Okay,
they'll do a lot better. The thick ground cover that you've got on it, what is it? Do you know?
I don't know. It's got little red flowers and it grows like mad from a central root with lots of runners going out, and it covers the ground.
Yeah, I would move that away from the roses and just stick with the mulch around the roses, because that could actually be
taking up some of the water.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let's take a call. Let's go to Maggie in Nadlands. Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning. On the raven problem, I think air rifles do a very good job. And
That doesn't sound like Nedlands.
Speaking of loss of trees, we just lost 70 trees in St Catharines, mature Marys and Jarrahs, and then down in Monash Avenue, they just took out some 200-year-old Jarrahs, so there you go. Anyway, my local problem is my darling sweet peas, which have suddenly developed nasty-looking what looked like mildew on them, and the leaves are going all sort of dusky green.
Yep, it will be mildew, and it's very... Oh, my God, they've just harvested the hugest kale I have ever seen in my life. Sorry, I was distracted. Now, that will be mildew. The problem with mildew is once it's actually in the leaf tissue, it's quite difficult to control. So a systemic fungicide will control it, but you can actually try the... potassium bicarbonate spray, and make sure it's on the backs of the leaves. That actually works better if you spray them before it's got it, but it's certainly worth a try, or you'd have to go for the systemic fungicide, which I can't tell you the brand name.
No, that's fine. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Maggie. Okay, we'll have more in just a second. Plenty of calls and lots of texts to get through this morning. 0437 922 720. More in just a second.
Nightlife.
G'day, Tony Delroy. Huge week on the Nightlife. Macular degeneration is a leading cause of blindness in Australia. We'll have a look at that on Monday. Tuesday, Daryl Dixon's back talking super. Midweek, we look at the insidious nature of advertising in our lives. Will Hagen on Thursday with Motor Talk. And Friday, help for your stressed pet with Dr. Kirsty.
Nightlife on ABC Local Radio and streamed live online.
Roots and Shoots at the Urban Spring Festival at the Perth Cultural Centre with James Lush, Sabrina Hahn and Josh Byrne.
Actually, Josh Byrne is busy at the moment. He's got his army of volunteers doing some great stuff in the garden. You've got to come down to the Perth Cultural Centre. It's on all day between now and 4 o'clock. You've got to come down. You've got to bring your little soil specimen. Get that tested. And we've had a couple of texts from people saying, where is the Perth Cultural Centre?
Oh,
okay, yeah. Well, you're sort of slap bang in the middle of town. You're about a stone's throw away from the central train station. You're bang next door to the art gallery. You're next to the museum. As for the street that we're on, I'm not sure. You just sort of find your way here.
Is it Row? No.
Yeah, hang on. Olivia, what's the street that we're on? I mean, is there a street that is...
Row Street.
Okay.
Row Street. If you've heard of a place called the Art Gallery, they have many fine works on the walls.
Yes.
I can't believe people don't know.
Well, that's each to their own. You know, we don't all know about frangipanis.
And I don't know about car racing.
There you go.
Stuff like that.
Or football. But or having said that, you did tip the winners, so that's pretty good.
I'm getting good at picking the animal that's going to win the race.
That's the way. Olivia has a question for us. Yes, okay, go for it. Yeah. I can't hear you very loud.
No, we can't hear you. No, you're not on.
Which is
try that fiddle a bit more. No? Have another fiddle.
Oh, hang on. Maybe if I put the right button on that. Yeah.
James, you got one job to do.
I couldn't even do that. It's so confusing because you can't see when a button's on or off.
Yeah.
You know, it's like women. You can't tell whether...
Oh, you usually can. It's something emits from them about a room away, James.
Good Lord.
I'm only
kidding. Just wanted to say what a wonderful sight it is with the kids in the garden here at the Spring Festival. So what they're doing is they're turning over the soil and the kids are running in and grabbing the potatoes that get turned
Awesome.
Over. Isn't that great?
This is the way to do your garden, folks. You just need to have a little open day like this and everyone will come around to do your garden. Within 20 minutes, you're sorted.
The kids go, oh, there's another one. They dive in. So cute.
Beautiful.
I've got the lovely Trish from Vic Park here with a couch grass problem.
In our garden, we started watering, putting some new little plants in, but the couch is in every nook and cranny. It goes so deep, it's not funny. And we just can't get rid of it. For about 5 years, we just cannot get rid of it. Glyphosate just seems to laugh at it. So what do we do?
Well, the thing is, to make glyphosate more effective, particularly on couch, you have to add a bit of urea to it. Because the urea is nitrogen and that the leaf tissue recognises the nitrogen and it sucks it in and it'll suck the glyphosate in. Unfortunately, with couch, you only need a very small amount, so about a tablespoonful in a 5 litre. If you're persistent and keep, you know, as soon as the couch... Is it through everything?
Everything. It goes under the driveway to the other... When we got the house, it already was a problem.
Yeah.
And, of course, as soon as we're kind to the garden and try to do something...
It comes up.
We have more couch, And it's so matted, we can't even cut through it.
Can you take the plants out, put them in pots, sacrifice that area and then solarise it? So if you do, you know, if you solarise it midsummer, so get clear plastic and leave it on all through the summer, it will fairly sizzle the hell out of it.
Oh, okay.
But you'll have to leave it on for weeks during the heat of summer.
Mm. All right.
Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Josh has just been gardening. Look at what he's brought back. Just can you open the whole, look at this box of stuff that has come out of the Perth Cultural Centre. Now, obviously, this is radio, so let me describe. There are tons of potatoes. There is the most beautiful-looking cauliflower, broccoli, carrots, and what's that, red chard, is that?
It's red chard,
Isn't that magnificent?
Fantastic. Josh, thank you so much. That's wonderful of you to donate that to me for dinner tonight.
I think she's being a bit greedy because I know how good her garden is, and it's full of vegetables, and she still wants more, but...
This was concrete, and now we've got a garden that is producing like this. You've got all your volunteers working actively whilst you sit down and
it's all about good planning.
And Josh, this is all organic, isn't it?
It certainly is, all organic. So we use natural fertilisers, we use crop rotation and, you know, rely on biodiversity and natural pest control. And then, of course, if we need to, we use some organic sprays to knock off the odd pest and issue. But it's organic, certified organic, and it's safe to eat, which, of course, is so important for all of us and particularly kids. So.
Kids are having a ball. They love the potato harvesting.
Yeah. Josh, is this place right now where you wanted to be, or what's your vision for something like this and other areas like this? What do you have in your mind?
Well, look, the way this is at the moment, it's absolutely humming, so I couldn't be happier. The gardens are flourishing, and we've got community volunteers coming in on the weekend and doing it because they want to learn and enjoy it. The fruit trees are all coming on into their third year. As you mentioned, the Chartreux mulberries, you know, already producing beautiful crops. All the stone fruits are coming into their own. So for me, this is bliss. What I would like to see is this concept rolled out into all sorts of other areas, and let's all give that a go.
Okay, so what do we need for that to happen? Councils have got to be more forthcoming or what?
Well, I think we need people from the community to drive it. I mean, councils and also state government
are very
responsive to people who really want to give things a go.
Yes.
And do you know what? It's very hard to put an argument against doing good things like this.
Yeah.
Okay, but at the end of the day, we need people from the community to drive it, and that's what we're seeing here.
Yeah, and look at the rewards, and look at the smiles on the kids' faces.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. And the amazing thing is this box of veggies here, that's about 15 minutes' work.
Yes.
And there's boxes and boxes coming out. And this is at the end of the growing season, so most of the stuff has already been harvested and enjoyed.
Yeah.
And this is the last of it. And, of course, shortly we'll replant the whole thing out with things like beans and squash and cucumbers and tomatoes and eggplants, corn. things that will grow the rest of summer.
Is that what's going on now? Are they going to replant it for
you? Yes, that's right. So in about another 20 minutes, it'll all be harvested.
Yes.
And then we go through and we do some soil conditioning and straighten up the irrigation, and then we plant the whole thing out.
Fantastic. Josh Byrne, ladies and gentlemen, big round of applause for him and his team.
Thank you.
Come on down and just check this out, because you will be really surprised at how amazing it is.
And I want everyone that's here working in the garden to come and just do a few hours in my garden. Be really nice.
When you've finished here, just come around. We're going to do some texts. We've got lots of texts to get through, so let's do some of those here on 720 ABC Perth, ABC Local Radio. It is a beautiful Saturday morning and lots of great questions. So here we go. What is causing my basil leaves to go transparent, Jill and Dianella says?
That will either be caterpillars or snails or slugs that are getting into it in the evening. Go out with a little torch at night time. They'll be skeletonizing the leaf.
Okay. Isn't it lovely? Our willy wagtails are nesting in our rain gauge. Have three little babies, Ryan and Katina in Geraldton says.
It's so cute.
I have 10 cocos in a large pot. So cocoa? Is it cocos? What's that? Cocos?
Cocos palms.
It must be. When and how do I separate them and transplant into a garden bed?
I'd put them in a mulcher.
In a mulcher, yes. I thought you'd say that. Sorry about that, Clive, for the disrespectful answer from Sabrina. You know where she can be found. Paddy here. I grew a few spuds. Just wondering what you suggest to control aphids, and just spraying them all the time takes time when I'd rather be spending time with my wife. Nice touch there.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Do you see the way he got a gardening point and he also scored some brownie points? That's brilliant, brilliant.
What a suck hole. Look, I just make up my own. I either squish with fingers, or you can just make up, get whatever oil you cook with. You only need a couple of tablespoons in a litre of water, a drop of dishwashing liquid, spray it, and you only need to do it like, I don't know, a couple of times.
Okay. When is a good time to pick garlic?
When it's ready.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to have a little... Look, garlic is a long-term crop, and it should be in the ground for minimum 4 months, 6 months, sometimes up to a year. Sometimes you need to have a little dig around and just see if the bulb has formed properly.
Michael says, what should I feed a custard apple tree with? 6 years old.
Yeah, they're a tropical fruit, so they need a lot of the trace elements and high potassium fertiliser.
Morning here. I've got Luke in management saying I have lemon, lime and mandarin trees all young, not looking too good. What would the problem be, probably?
One of about 1,000 things.
Okay, buy the book. Sabrina's written a nice book.
Just give them a liquid fertiliser and a bit of seaweed tonic. When they're young, they're gross feeders.
Okay, geranium has stunted flowers, slightly off colour. Any idea why?
Now, could be a virus, could be that there's ants in the free-draining soil, could be that the potting mix is hydrophobic. You need to do a little bit more CSI work on that one.
I'm using the treatments for fruit fly around the garden. I'm trapping a lot of little black beetles. I recall they were a problem with my peaches last year. Is there a specific cure for them, Erica in Esperance says?
Now, the traps that you're using for the fruit fly should trap all sorts of things, really, especially if you're baiting. So you won't need to do more than that. They're a bugger, those beetles.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing such a great community today. I'm smiling listening to the radio and can feel the great energy that is there and wish I was there. Marion is in the car, so let's give a bit more energy. Feel the vegetable love. Kel and Collie says, is it wise and okay for us to buy 18-year-old sun-hardened palms for Collie? How do we plant them for the best chance to live?
Oh, my God. Palms are going to look so ridiculous in Collie. Don't put palms in. Put native plants in. What? You don't have palms in Collie? That's just stupid. Sorry. That's my opinion.
Oh, dear. Okay.
For God's sake, be environmentally sensitive to the area you're living.
Okay, zap, there goes our Collie audience. Okay, she's offended them, sorry. Sometimes, after a little bit of pawpaw, she gets a little excited. Apologies. Why is my cherry tree, an ornamental cherry, not flowered this year? I presume there will be no cherries this year. Would that be true? No flowers?
Well, if it's an ornamental cherry tree, they actually don't fruit. They flower, hence the name ornamental. I don't know. What's wrong with listeners this morning, James?
I don't know. What's wrong with you? You're so stroppy.
Now, honestly, if you've got an ornamental cherry tree, I'm sorry to say that you probably will never get fruit.
Just, just ornaments.
Beautiful flowers, yes. Stunning flowers.
Good. 6 olive trees, 2 to 3 varieties, been in the ground 3 years after being in a pot, never flowered, never fruited. Do I take the chainsaw to them? Jules says.
It's a lot of people whinging this morning.
But what is you? It's encouraging it.
Yes, look, I would definitely prune them. Now, you're better off with your olives pruning every second year. Don't use a high nitrogen fertiliser. You really need a fertiliser, same sort of fertiliser you'd use for tomatoes. It could be that they just need a little dose of trace elements.
Good.
A little bit of hard loving.
You know, we're having a beautiful morning here. It must be, 22, maybe 23 degrees, if that. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. A busy bee of gardeners in Roebourne called to let us know that they're hard at work in 42 degrees. Oh. But they're loving it, they say. Oh. They're loving it.
You go, you good people of Roebourne.
Don wants to know how to improve tomato flower set. Not going on air. He's just not
Okay. Stress. Stress your tomato plants. Remember, the pollen on tomato flowers is very fine. So sometimes you need to shake the bush so the pollen actually drops down.
Okay. Fleur wants to know how to get rid of green caterpillars who love salad greens.
You can use a bacteria called Bacillus thuringiensis, or you can use another bacteria which is spinosad. Only affects caterpillars, nothing else.
That is the lovely Fleur who's writing things on my screen. Got her own little question in there. Do you notice that? Isn't that lovely? Very
Fleur.
Clever. But she has every right to. And she told
does.
Me she nearly ate that green caterpillar last night with it.
That's fine.
They're not going to hurt you, are they?
No.
By the way, there's some huge potatoes. Look, just bring me that potato.
Oh, my
Bring
Lord.
Me this specimen, because that has definitely got some... My goodness.
That is one alien
We have to
potato.
Take a photograph of this potato. Just look at that, will you? Olivia, give her a microphone. What's your name, my love?
Annie.
Annie, what have you found here? How would you describe this potato?
Carefully.
Yes, carefully. Okay.
Weird.
Yeah.
But it is extremely weird. Have you done biology? Much biology at school?
Pardon?
Have you done much biology at school yet? Okay, you just wait till you do. It'll remind you of something when you see this picture.
Stop it. Corrupting the child.
That is extraordinary.
That's a ripper, isn't it?
Can we take a photo of this just to demonstrate what we have found?
You have to hold it, though,
hold that
darling.
Potato. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that is nature for you. But what's happened to that, Sab? That is a potato that is shaped like a hand, I suppose. It's got...
I know. That's quite normal. Well, it's not normal. It's abnormal. But remember that potatoes are formed by tubers, and the tubers have just actually joined together.
Okay.
A little bit like conjoined twins.
It's just brilliant. I mean, you know when you order baked potato sometimes with your meal? If that landed on my plate, I would be going back to that restaurant weekly. It's just amazing. Where do you put your butter in that bit? That's what I want to know.
There could be some aphrodisiac quality to that potato, James.
We'll have to put a photo up online so people can see how good it is. You've been digging out potatoes all morning. Are you pleased with your catch so far? Yeah?
Yeah.
You can't just nod.
There's some green ones as well that we had to put in the rubbish bag. Oh. But there was a big one before as well.
I saw you hold up. That one's about that long, wasn't
yeah.
it? I think you're just the best potato harvester.
Tell me, are you having great fun? Yeah. No, don't nod. Remember what I said to you. This is rated. Nods don't work.
Do you have a veggie garden at home, darling?
We did last year, but we haven't started it yet.
Oh, I think you should get your parents onto it, because I reckon you're a pretty good gardener.
Last year we had watermelon and rockmelon and capsicums and carrots and beetroot.
Good.
We got some really big watermelons.
Did you? That is awesome.
Fantastic. And you've got proper gardening gloves. Your own gardening gloves are these? Or have you borrowed those? Okay, you keep them now because they look just good on your hands and you're a great gardener. Give her a big round of applause. She's awesome. And she's very kindly left soil all over our machinery. Nice touch. Let's do another one here, Olivia Holmes. Let's do one.
Okay. Hello. Yep. I've got Sally from Queens, who's got a native hibiscus issue.
Okay.
I'm Annie's mum, so I have to get the potatoes going. Yeah. I've got a beautiful native, Alagoino. I bought it at the Kings Park Festival sale last year, and it's grown probably about a metre and a half high.
Yep.
I live right by the coast, so the soil's not good, but it's growing beautifully. But I noticed a few weeks ago that one of the branches had just split from the trunk, and I was devastated. I didn't know what to do, but
they
it's still
do it.
Shooting. And
they do it all the time. Oh. It's really important now to prune it so that there's stability to that. They quite often split their limbs. Yeah. It's because they get more water than what they're used to. So if you hold back the water, that won't tend to happen as much. But definitely prune it back all the way around.
And should I cut that branch
yes,
off?
Yes, yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I haven't pruned it. I kind of let it go because yeah. I didn't know
no, you
what
need,
to do.
You need to prune them to help stabilise the okay. branches.
Oh, that's good. Thank you.
Okay. Megan in Helena Valley, just a really quick one if we can, if you don't mind. Just 20 seconder.
Okay, here we go. Sabrina, I was just interested in a new product that's come onto the market. It's Cocoa Peat, and it says that it has all the trace elements, the nutrients, the micro rhizobias in it, and you can use it as a potting mix direct.
Actually, that's really great for plants. All those trace elements and things only stay in there for a very short period of time, so you, because it's cocoa peat, you will need to keep adding it.
Thank you for the call, and thank you for the quick question. Thank you, everyone who has come down and enjoyed muffins, coffee, and this most beautiful Saturday morning. Give yourself a big round of applause. Beautiful. Thank you also for all the calls, the texts. We didn't have time for every single one. The lovely Princess Sabrina, the lovely Josh Byrne, who's doing wonders. He'll be here all day. Do make sure you go and say hello to him. Thanks to Olivia and the team, of course, back in the studio as well. We'll do it all again, same time next week. Have a wonderful Saturday, wonderful Sunday. See you later.
Bye.